When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
The other day, I got my advanced reader copy of The Inscrutable Dr. Baer and the Case of the Two-Faced Statue. And for those who don't know, an advanced reader copy is a sort of lower quality print of the book, sort of a preview of the book, an uncorrected proof. You'll also hear them called galleys. You might have come across these sometimes. It's before the final proof is done, it's sent off to the printer so that a copy can be sent off to reviewers and writers, bloggers, etc., to get some press on the book before it hits stores. By the way, it's in stores in September 2024. DrBaer.com, B-A-E-R. But as I sat there holding the book, I was hit with a lot of emotion because there's something about the physicality of 2 years worth of effort, like bound into this artifact, this physical thing. Sort of the same feeling as when I held all of the inked pages when I was done, right? And I shared the picture of those inked pages when I finished inking the book a while back. But now I'm seeing it all colored and assembled and all the spreads and, you know, and feeling the weight of the book. And I remember thinking like, wow, that's 2 years right there. Right there is 2 years. 2 years of saying no to a lot of things to say yes to making this book. Saying no to income that I needed at the time, you know, in terms of like taking on different teaching gigs. Saying no to hanging out with a lot of local friends in person, or even hang out with friends virtually. Spending time with my wife and my cats, you know. I love my cats a lot, and it is a drag sometimes to have to like shut myself up in my office so I can get a couple hours worth of inking. Why am I bringing this up? Because I got a question on the jdrozd.com/AMA, the Ask Me Anything form, which I'm encouraging people to submit what they're wondering about in terms of making this book so I can do some audio essays in the lead up to the book's release. And the question I got is, do you ever feel the tension between protecting time to work on your book against that time that friends and family want you to spend with them? What does that look like? Great question. Great question. Not asking me to fix it. What does it look like? Just characterize it. And how on earth do we find the best balance in this? Oh, there's the advice question. That'll bring the least amount of guilt, in parentheses. So let's talk about what it looks like. I'll say right up front, it's not obvious to me right now as I'm talking that there is a bit of advice that I can offer on this, except that this is attention, as described in the question. Anything that means something is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us a resource. And making art often asks us for our time. And this is a tension that I've lived in for, as of this year, 30-odd years. And I'm not quite elderly yet, so that means a significant portion of my youth was spent in this pursuit, like age 19 and on. And I have very clear memories of like living with a couple of roommates who the two of them would go out to, you know, a club or a bar or whatever and go socialize with other people. And I would get home from work. I worked a full-time job at the local newspaper as a graphic designer. I would come home and work all night on comics pages. I was saying no to a lot, even as far back as that. And if I could step back and look at the problem a little bit more broadly as I see it, something I've been thinking about a lot in recent years is just how extroverted our society is, at least in the West, in the United States in particular. I can only talk about the United States because that's where I live. And maybe even only particularly to the Midwest United States, because that's where I've spent most of my life. But I think it's safe to say that, broadly speaking, the expectations put upon us are that being outgoing, socializing, and being amongst people are the prized, quote unquote, normal activities. What do you want to do this weekend? Well, let's go out to restaurants, go out to a movie, let's go out to a game, let's go out to a concert, right? And I enjoy lots of things that take me into the world and being around people. Comic conventions, educational conferences. I'm going to the American Library Association conference this summer, and I'm looking forward to it. But all that extroversion, I think it causes a couple of blind spots. And the first one is when I think about the question that was asked, like this idea of like people trying to get you out of, away from your art desk to come out with them, is sometimes that can really feel like, because of the assumptions of an extroverted society, they're helping a wallflower join the dance, right? Oh, you keep yourself shut up all the time. You need to get out and relax and kick back. Well, first of all, many of us get into art making, especially art making like comics, because it is a solitary endeavor. This is something that came up recently when I was on the Tell the Damn Story podcast, where a lot of the people on the panel were talking about the loneliness of the profession of writing. And I offered the different frame of, well, it can be. It can be very lonely, but it also can feel like solitude. There's something that I find physically, spiritually, emotionally enriching about being by myself and living in these imaginal spaces while I'm making my stuff. I need to do it. Not because of my identity as an artist, but because I get something from it. I get something out of that experience that nobody else can give me. So, yes, well, you know, I love going to baseball games. I go to like something like 50 or 60 baseball games a year. That's getting out a lot, right? I really enjoy it. But I, just as much as I need that to unwind, I need that time in solitude. And this leads to my second sort of observation about blind spots when living in an extroverted society, is that it's really hard for all of us to see the toil that each and every one of us is going through in the background to do the things that we do. And when you add that onto a cultural assumption that doing what you love or art is not working, people say, I never worked a day of my life because I do what I love. And I get the idea behind that sentiment, but I think that it is potentially misleading because it suggests that there's no effort involved. So in other words, when your friends come over to say, hey, you should come out, you should unwind, get out from behind that desk. Hey, you can do it tomorrow. It's something you do for fun anyway. Well, if that's the case, then I'll stay here and have fun instead of going out and having fun. It'll be less expensive and I'll have something to show for it at the end. But that's just a jokey way of addressing the problem. The issue for me is that if it's already hard to see how much everybody else is toiling in the background, then how much harder is it for people to see that doing something that you love in your spare time and, you know, which is considered by many to be one of those frivolous things that only people with talent do. Yeah, I can see how it would be easy for somebody to say things that might come across as a little bit diminishing or maybe even condescending. And then there is the expectation that if you want to have a relationship, you have to maintain one. Oh no. You mean in order to be in relationship with somebody, I have to relate to them? I have to be connected to them somehow and on a regular and meaningful basis? Yes. So then you get into this whole idea of, well, if I don't go, I'm not a very good friend or a good relative, right? I'm a bad husband if I don't do X, Y, and Z. I'm nervous about that kind of labeling. Yes, I do my best to maintain connection with my social connections. I have a number of friends where I make a point of, I'm going to reach out to them at least once a month, if not more. But if I look at the calendar and it's like I haven't talked to them in a month, I'm reaching out to them. And that takes commitment and it takes time. But also, I try to be just as judicious about making sure that I'm scoring time to do the art that matters to me. And it's a real tension. It's a tension that comes up even, you know, as a husband, right? I just recently finished a 12-day stretch of teaching. Events lined up in such a way that, and I agreed to, this is totally my fault, okay? I'm taking the full blame for this. I agreed to enough things like 6 months ago for May 2024 that it amounted to me teaching or doing events for 12 straight days. And the weekend after that, I was ready for some solitude and some art making. And then, but 12 days of being, of traveling and doing a lot of other things meant that I was behind on a lot of, you know, taking care of my home. Laundry, dishes, grocery shopping, all the things that you have to do in order to stay alive as a human being. And yeah, that tension was there, right? It's like, oh, I thought I was going to get to like just make art for 4 hours. Nope, that's not in the cards. Okay, I'm going to kick it down the line a little bit, and I'm really frustrated about it. So what does it look like? It looks like a lot of negotiating, and it looks like a lot of pulling back and collecting myself. And it looks like a lot of empathizing with people who don't necessarily know what it takes to do what I do, not because they're ignorant fools, but because it's really hard for us to see one another. And acknowledging that, and acknowledging that there's stuff I don't see that they're going through. So, and maybe next time we hang out, I can ask them about it. And it looks like having to sort of stay conscious of all of this stuff, which can be also very exhausting. It can be, right? But then I also try to remind myself, it's like, well, I do this in the first place because I love it. You know, it's like, yes, this is all hard and all these tensions have costs and but also the tensions are what like bring up new insight and you know, new reflections. So I think about that too. But let me sort of start rounding towards the finish line with a thought about what good relationship looks like for me with the lifestyle that I've chosen. Because again, it's cost me things. It's cost me relationships. Like there have been people in my life who just could not understand or did not understand or would not understand like how remote I had to feel sometimes in order to do what I like to do. But I've had other friends who not only understand it, but they really embrace it. So my buddy Hoover, who I did the 4 Million Years Later podcast with, who I've known for this year, 30 years, he's been very aware of how I've, like what my struggles have been. We talk on the phone once a week. We have sat in each other's presence a number of times. He lives across the country from me, but we've gotten together a bunch of times. And he came to visit me once for, I think it was like 3 or 4 days. And just after he arrived, I got pinged for a freelance illustration gig that was a substantial amount of money. It was enough that it would be, I really felt like I couldn't say no to it. I needed that money, and it was a really quick turnaround. They wanted it like within 24 hours or something like that. So there was like an extra rush charge, etc. And I remember saying to Hoover, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We're supposed to be having fun and hanging out, but I have to do this gig. And he said, well, why don't I just hang out with you while you draw it? And we can talk about Transformers while you draw this freelance gig. And it was just like the most gentle, most nourishing way to say, hey, I'm your friend. And whatever you're going through, I can, you know, be your co-pilot on this thing. So that's another thing I think about is like when these tensions come up, is there a way to, now, obviously you can't do this with every step of the process of making comics because like when I think about like thumbnailing, no, I need to be in my office with the door closed and in silence in order to do that. I can't be, there are parts of the process where I really can't be around other people. But if I'm inking, yeah, I can be around other people. So is there a way to sort of gently invite in a social component to your art making time? That would be the closest thing that I have for anything that'd be advicey. Just based on like the handful of times where that tension has come up, and a good friend has suggested, well, why don't I just come over and chit-chat with you while you work? So, is there any way to get past the guilt? The guilt, I don't know what to say about that. I guess I'm reminded of the expression that, what is it, that resentment is the result of unspoken need. And so something that I'm not great at, but I've been practicing, is like being explicit about what I need and when. And so to say to people in my life that are close to me, like, hey, you know what? I need to step away and do this thing for an hour and 45 minutes. And then I'll be back. I'm not always, you know, on the ball with articulating that. But when I do, it usually turns out okay. It's usually the expectations are set. And while there'll be maybe an expression of, oh, it's a bummer, I was hoping that we could do this thing right now. But when I come back in an hour and 45 minutes and I'm a better human being because I got to do the thing that matters to me, I'm a better companion and expectations were set so they know when to when I go to coming back. So there's that too. But I guess my closing thought is just an acknowledgement of, like, it's really tricky, it's really hard, and I don't want to shroud the tension with some kind of cloak of nobility around the endeavor. It has a cost, but if it's something you need to do, then you need to do it. If it's something that fills you up somehow, then you got to do it. And there will be costs. So I think I'll leave it there. Thank you to the person who left me the question at jdrose.com/AMA. If you have any thoughts, questions, and wonderings you want to submit, you can go there. It's completely anonymous. There is a field to add a little bit of extra context as to why you're asking the question, and I'll turn it into an essay on Thunder Punch Daily. And if this has been at all useful to you, if this has been at all interesting to you, I hope you will go to drbear.com. Doctor, all spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R. Bear, spelled B-A-E-R.com. It's also linked on my website, jdrose.com. The book is up for pre-order now. You can get it almost anywhere you buy books. I mean, it's available at walmart.com, for crying out loud, target.com, amazon.com, bookfinder.com. You can find it in a host of different independent bookstores. But pre-ordering it helps a lot. So please, you know, if you got a young person in your life who might like some spooky adventure, or if you're the kind of person who likes spooky adventure, you can support me by pre-ordering the book. 248 pages in full color. It's a big book. I've got the advanced reader copy. It's a hefty read, and I worked really hard on it. I love it, and I hope you love it too. DrBear.com. Okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily, and until then, remember, everybody.
There are times when everybody dreams of becoming very rich or powerful, but what they don't think about are the problems and responsibilities that go with it. In today's story, He-Man was tested, and he proved his worth when he was able to resist the temptation to use his great power for any selfish gain. He knew that it's just as important to know when not to use force as it is to know when to use it.